Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. As the number of confirmed coronavirus cases soars to more than 16 million and deaths near 300,000, according to data from Johns Hopkins University, officials say the country's first Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine will start arriving in states on Monday. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin has more.
The federal government has contracted with FedEx and UPS, and the vials are going from Pfizer's manufacturing facilities to central distribution centers. I've been told the first batch will start moving around noon tomorrow. And General Perna says all states will receive shipments on Monday. Initially, we're talking about small quantities, about 6.4 million doses in the first batch. And each state knows exactly how many doses they're getting in these first few weeks based on the state's population.
NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin. The vaccine has to be kept extremely cold, and a second dose will be required 3 weeks after the first. Governors and state health officials have plans to prioritize the allocation of the vaccine. Meanwhile, full federal funding for the vaccine program hasn't come through from Congress yet. In Texas, hospitals are overflowing with COVID-19 patients, especially in rural areas. Texas Public Radio's Dominic Anthony Walsh reports the intensive care unit at the only Level 1 trauma center in northwest Texas is over capacity.
The University Medical Center in Lubbock has had to reject transfers from smaller rural hospitals at higher rates than usual, a necessity that weighs on Sharmila Disanaka, the chief of surgery.
That was probably one of the hardest things. When our hospital is completely over capacity and I don't have an ICU bed, and if someone is shot in a town just outside here, they can bleed to death if they don't get to me. But, you know, we're stretched to breaking point and we're stretching even further.
She worries that cases from holiday gatherings will make a bad situation worse. She says quality of care is suffering and staff members are burning out. For NPR News, I'm Dominic Anthony Walsh in Boone.
An audit shows the Democratic National Committee played a major role in Iowa's disastrous caucus night, which kicked off the primary last February. Iowa Public Radio's Clay Masters reports.
February's caucus results were delayed for days, thanks in part to a faulty smartphone app. The autopsy lays out several reasons as to why things went wrong. Among them, the DNC feared the app would miscalculate results on caucus night, so they demanded the app developer build a conversion tool just weeks before the caucuses so the DNC could access the raw numbers. Attorney Nick Kleinfeld was one of the authors of the audit.
When the DNC database's conversion tool failed to work correctly, it caused the DNC to wrongly stop the IDP from reporting its results.
The DNC did not participate in interviews by the lawyers who prepared the audit. For NPR News, I'm Clay Masters in Des Moines.
This is NPR. The International Committee of the Red Cross says a convoy of desperately needed medicines and relief supplies has arrived in the capital of Tigray. Lisa Schlein reports this is the first international aid to arrive in the region since fighting erupted there more than a month ago.
The Red Cross reports healthcare facilities in Tigray have run out of crucial supplies of drugs and basic items such as surgical gloves. This and the lack of other medical supplies, it says, has essentially paralyzed their ability to treat the wounded and care for the sick. The agency says doctors and nurses have had to make life and death decisions about which patients to help after weeks without new supplies, running water, and electricity. Seven Red Cross trucks, which have arrived in Tigray, are carrying enough medicines and supplies to care for more than 400 trauma patients, as well as items to treat chronic and routine medical conditions. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
In Barcelona, 500 music fans, desperate for a concert without social distancing, are taking part in a test of the effectiveness of same-day coronavirus testing. The volunteers will have to pass an antigen test before entering the concert, and face masks and hand sanitizers are a must inside the show. The 500 concertgoers and then another 500 people in a control group will all undergo PCR tests before the concert and then again 8 days after to determine if those tests can help prevent an outbreak at a large event. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR.